Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you for that song, dear children. And that was a blessing to my heart here this morning, just to hear that praise. Praise is comely. Praise is beautiful. It's God honoring. It's edification for the body of Christ, for each one of our hearts here this morning. Thank you for Brother Samuel, what you shared there on being a vessel of honor or dishonor. And that illustration there, Stephen, that you shared with the children. And I trust that was speaking to my heart as well here this morning as I consider life. So I want to welcome and greet each one of you in the worthy name of Jesus and pray that His grace and peace will be multiplied here together with us as we worship together here today. It's a good day to serve Jesus Christ. I was just recently thinking of, you know, in light of all the upheaval in the world around us, as you see the nation rising up against nation, and there's threats going back and forth on a weekly basis. You know, we truly are blessed this morning to be able to come here in a peaceful way and just gather and to worship Jesus Christ. And we know there's many believers in those countries, Ukraine and Russia and many others, that are believers that are meeting maybe in their basement, maybe in a cool, dark dungeon of some kind. But we trust they are being blessed as well. And may we not allow the freedom that we experience to cause us to go to sleep. So last week we heard about a message on choices. Last Sunday was on choices. And so today I'd like to share a message on strongholds. What is a stronghold? Sometimes strongholds keep us from making godly choices. We heard about that in a children's lesson. Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So Paul was talking about pulling down strongholds. What does that look like? What is a stronghold? It's something that, we want to look at that here this morning. It's something that hinders us from following Jesus Christ. It hinders us from doing the will of God. And it's a very powerful force. And it has to do with our mind. You know, some time ago I heard a preacher preach that your mind is maybe not up here. Maybe it's down here in your stomach area. I'm not sure, but we know what a mind is. It's a mind is an amazing organ or organism. It's an amazing thing that largely determines our path. So when you think of pulling down a stronghold, it starts in the mind, I believe, this morning. So as we make choices, If we're gripped by a stronghold, we likely will not make a right choice. We think of, maybe I will just pray at this time. Those of you who can kneel, and those who can't, it's fine. Lord Jesus, as we not kneel here before you this morning, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for life eternal. We thank you for knowledge of your word. And that knowledge has penetrated our hearts and caused us to walk in a way that pleases you. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross that we can kneel here together this morning with hope of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for these tremendous blessings, these beautiful blessings that we have this morning of a worship time. I pray, Lord, that if there's any strongholds here operating this morning, that you would help us, Lord, individually and as a church, to pull them down and to expose them, Lord. We know that we don't fight this battle with earthly means. But it's spiritual. It's a spiritual battle. And so we thank you for delivering us from strongholds, from our youth and from our growing up years. And we just pray that you would continue to do that for us as a church and help us to recognize them when they operate. We thank you for this time together. We pray that you would bind every spirit that's not of you. And we pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit, and that we would allow the Holy Spirit to have free course here this morning in every pew, in every heart, in every circumstance. We thank you and praise you and ask for your blessing and anointing upon these few words that I have this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we identify strongholds in our lives? You know, there was a question that came up as I was growing up, and the question was often talked about, is it true that if I don't know what's in the Bible, then I won't be held accountable? And there was many that thought that was true. And this morning, I want to declare to us here together this morning that that's not true. That even if I do not know a single word that's in this book, or a precept, or a teaching, even if I don't know any of that, I'm still accountable for this truth in the Word of God. It's kind of like a stop sign. You know, you can run a stop sign, get pulled over by a policeman and say, well, I didn't know that that stop sign meant to stop, that I had to stop. Well, you'll still be receive a ticket because that's just how it is. And so God loves us and He is desirous to reveal Himself to us. But ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is not an option, and especially if it's willful ignorance. And often the thought pattern that I just described was an attempt to not open the Bible because if I read something, I may be accountable. That's ignorance. And God will, He still holds us accountable. So this morning, Timothy talks about a sound mind. Do I have a sound mind? If you do this morning, you're a blessed person. And I know we have many sound minds in this room, and I'm thankful for that. I want to praise God for that. So do I have a sound mind? We think of our minds are very fragile. You know, you think of mental health. It's a very fragile thing. And I believe it has to do at times with strongholds. And I want to be very careful how I talk about mental health as well, because I realize it's very complex and it's very large and it's very, there's much that I don't understand about it. But I'm just going to try to apply the Word of God this morning to pulling down strongholds that Paul talked about here. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So you think of a stronghold. You know, people, you know, recently I read an article of a person that was on a flight, mid-flight, and he goes up to the exit door, and he tries to yank the door open in mid-flight. I think it's safe to say that that person did not have a sound mind, but rather a stronghold was operating. Or I read another article where a man was disgruntled with the police or with the fire department. So he called the fire department, set a fire, and then ambushed the fireman with a gun. It's safe to say that this man did not have a sound mind, but it was a stronghold operating in his heart, in life, and it destroyed him. You know, this communication that we have, that we can speak, is so fragile at times. You know, we can think that we're doing the right thing, but, you know, maybe we don't have all the information. You know, in our line of work, we do appliance panels that go on the front of an appliance in your kitchen. And there's times when you get the specs and you fit it and you get the size and you build the panel, you get out on the job site and here it doesn't fit. And then we start communicating and we realize, well, yeah, didn't you get that last email? I sent you an updated spec for that refrigerator and it changed. Oh, no, we didn't see the email. So there again, you know, it was a misinterpretation. It was, you know, in our mind, we were doing the right thing. We had the specs, we had this, we were doing the job, but we didn't have the right information. Or if you go to the doctor and he says you need a new knee or a new hip, you know, there's times that this happens. You go in and put a new knee in and you notice how they always ask you, now, you're here today to put in your right knee. Is that right? And what's your name? What's your address? They keep asking you because there's times that people go in to put the right knee in and they do the other one or they do the wrong one. And so miscommunication is very prevalent. And it has to do with what I'm talking about here this morning. I read a recent survey that says that we have an average person. Sorry to erase your. An average person has 60,000 thoughts a day. And I believe some of it could be lower than that, but that's kind of the top number. And 90% of these thoughts are repetitive. So as a person, you know, we have thoughts that go around in our mind. And so in light of what I just said here with those repetitive thoughts, you know, if someone says something to me and, you know, it's a lie, or basically I believe it's a lie when it's actually true. You know, if you go around, you know, feelings come from that, or fears. And then it goes around my mind, you know. Comes around here. And then that, then the, yeah, I have actions. Or reaction. That comes from that. Then it goes on around and becomes, you know, you ever hear the phrase, you know, sometimes my mind is going in circles. So we have things that go around our mind, and some of it is not true. Sometimes it's not true what we're feeling and what we're thinking, and how to be able to discern that. As we think of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Thank you. So pulling down strongholds in our life. Another translation of verse 4, it says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. It often starts with a wound we experience, a hurt or a disappointment that makes our heart fertile ground for seeds of lies to be planted. On this foundation, the enemy then begins to build brick by brick, a wall of lies, wrong ideas about who God really is, interpreting Scripture wrongly, prideful thoughts, distorted views of how God sees us and feels about us when we sin. When we buy into these lies and agree with the enemy, giving him control, that area of our life becomes a stronghold, which the enemy of our soul can control and use against us. So as we think of a stronghold, it's largely to do with how I think about what I experience. Because often, what I think I'm experiencing may not be real. It may not be accurate. So as we think of that this morning, you know, the Strong's definition of a stronghold there in that chapter, it means a fortress or a prison. The Vines would say that it's of those things that human confidence is imposed. You know, we put human confidence in it. But it's interesting how these things work. Last night we were, or was it Friday night? Yeah, Friday night we were sharing, my family were sitting around a campfire, and my son Leon was talking about this. We were saying, talking about, you know, his growing up years, and we were visiting, and he shared a scenario that was very clear in his mind. It was, we were on a road trip, and he was, I think, I don't know, 16 or so, and he had wanted to drive. And for some reason, I just didn't let him drive. I was maybe distracted or not thinking. But in his mind, he was going to drive a certain distance that day. And it didn't happen. Well, to me, it was just something I totally forgot about. I mean, actually, as he was telling the story, it still doesn't come to my mind. It was just something that was very, you know, neutral to me. But in his mind, years later, that scenario is still, you know, he has dealt with it. It's not an issue. But at the same time, it moved into long-term memory. And it was something he could remember from way back there. And now, if he would not have been able to work through it, him and I talked about it. He said I actually talked to him about it that same evening, which I didn't remember either. And but if we would not have been able to reconcile, work through it, then it likely would have become a stronghold in his life, where he would have just always been thinking, and his mind would have been thinking about that, and things like that. That's just a pretty neutral, you know, scenario here to bring out. But there's many of you have scenarios like that that may be much deeper. And so I'm just giving this as an example here. But Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 10 that, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We, you know, we live in a body. We don't fight according to human standards. And so may the Lord help us as we look through our lives and just be able to think rightly. In John 10:10, Jesus said once that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy, and I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus says, he warned us here that the enemy, that he's going to steal from you and he's going to kill you and he's going to destroy you. That is his motive. But Jesus said, just remember that I came that you could have life and you could have it more abundantly. So as we think of stealing and killing and destroying, then now that sounds like the work of the enemy that he does. So this morning, as we consider that, you know, I would like for us to consider this morning that the enemy will likely not come to us and ask us to give up our faith, our family, or our church, but he will likely try to steal from you very small increments of time, our obedience to Christ, our peace, our loving relationships as brothers. Just one inch at a time. He knows he's much more effective if he can only take a little at a time. Or maybe it's your values. He thrives on just taking a little more from you. And he would like to, you know, as the term is used, you know, just steal you, you know, to your blind or however that's stated there. But so what is the enemy stealing from me this morning? You know, there's a story that I just came across here. You know, I just like for us to recognize that often, you know, these strongholds don't happen in huge things, but they start small and it just starts wrapping you up with whatever, you know, that is huge in your mind or life. This happened in last year in June. The Florida nonprofit founder and accountant, he was charged with stealing over $100 million from special needs victims. The indictment was unsealed today, charging two Florida men in connection with a fraudulent scheme to steal over $100 million over 15 years. Over a 15-year period, so it wasn't, you know, if they would have took 100,000 at a time, you know, it would have been caught right away. But because it was just a little here, a little, it took 15 years for it to come to light and to come to fruition. And then on top of that, it was for special needs children. You know, Jesus said, he came that we could have an abundant life in Christ this morning. Life with meaning and life with purpose. joy and strength and love and peace. You know, I'm not going to talk much about this today, but this is also another stronghold that's operating in our community. Water witching, the high cost of holistic healing. And that's another message. I'm not going to touch on that today, but I'm going to primarily talk about strongholds in the area of the mind. But just the first paragraph here in this book that I'd like to share, it says, so often we get caught up in things that are not proven. Sounds good, looks good, he's doing it, she's doing it, it works, so it must be all right. The Bible instructs us, however, to prove all things, investigate, check out according to the word, and hold fast to that which is good. That which is not good, we should discard. We should not practice it, nor be involved with it. Prove all things. The Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. So that's another message, but I just wanted to, state that fact that this is also another area that's it's a big stronghold. It's part of my personal testimony that I won't go into today. So as we think of strongholds, you know, repentance and obedience are key in the victory over a stronghold. Identifying it and having victory over it. A spiritual stronghold is a mental or emotional space controlled by our spiritual enemy. Strongholds are revealed when we encounter within ourselves the flight or running away from accountability. I often think of this phrase that John D. Martin says sometimes when he preaches. He said, sinning is stupid. You know, that sounds kind of almost humorous, but it's very true. Sinning is stupid. So number one, repentance. Turning from. Number two is accountability. You know, turning from, you know, the stronghold. And a stronghold, I just to clarify again, is when you have a certain sin. And somehow you convince yourself that it's not really happening. And so you start going circles with it. You start going circles. So repentance is, I have sinned. And accountability is, I'm feeling this, but you're saying that. To believe the multitude of counselors. To believe what you're hearing people you trust say. To believe that. Because it could be that you're blinded by the stronghold. The most important weapon you have to tear down a spiritual stronghold is obedience to Christ. What is this spiritual war really about? It's about obeying God when your feelings are saying, do what feels good. You know, that, like that billboard, "Real Christians Obey Jesus." That's pretty simple, very simple, elementary, yet profound, very profound. It takes away the scales when we practice the accountability, the repentance. And the third one is truth. The truth will make you free. The truth will set you free, and you'll be free indeed. The devil and the dark spiritual powers don't want you to obey Jesus, but God does. Obedience has a way of freeing us from the bonds of sin and deception, of bringing us out from darkness to light. God wants us to be free, strong, courageous, wise, faithful. What He has planned for His victorious people is more than we could ever imagine. And obedience is the key to victory. It's the key to the path to victory. John 17:3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So beware of believing lies. You know, I've heard that at times where, you know, there's scenarios where people think things that happened way back there or whatever that can't be remembered. And I believe it has to do with these strongholds that I'm talking about here this morning. And also, I'd like for us to point out this 60,000 thoughts. It's at the top end. But think about 90% of them being repetitive thoughts. I think that's profound to consider in light of our mind, the way it works. In John chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus said one day, He said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." He was telling them, "You can't understand me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying to you? It's because you can't hear my word." I believe it's these three items right here: repentance, accountability, and truth. Either one or all of those were missing. Strongholds keep us from hearing with our hearts. Yeah, I heard the words come, but did it open the eyes of my heart, my understanding? Then he told him next verse, he said, You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That was quite a verse there. I you know, it's profound that they heard that and could not hear it. And I believe it's because their minds were blinded. Adolf Hitler had this lie that he would say, this slogan, maybe be a better word. Adolf Hitler had this slogan. You know, I remember hearing my grandfather Graeber talk about it one time, that during the time of when Hitler was in World War II, he said there was a cattle truck pulled in his property, and this was in the heat of the battle. I don't know what was happening right then in World War II, but he said he heard a speech that Adolf Hitler broadcasted across the radio. He didn't say much more about that, but I was just thinking about that, but his slogan was, one of his most deadly slogans was this: If you tell a big enough lie and you tell it often enough, it will be believed. And 6 million Jews died because of these lies that he was saying. And it's a stronghold. It was a stronghold in his life. If satanic strongholds are built on lies, then we desperately need to know the truth. God's word is the greatest source of truth we have in this life. And it's our responsibility as followers of Jesus to read it, to learn it, to know it, to live it. The truth of God is our greatest offensive weapon against the lies the world and the dark powers offer or put upon us. You know, Brother Marlon read a few weeks, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, in Revelations there, it says, they didn't know that they were wretched and blind and naked and miserable and poor and just, they were blind. They were blind and they couldn't see. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 2, it says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, it's a stronghold that blinded. You know, recently I seen a man at a restaurant, and he was blind, and he had a red walking stick. And as he was walking, people kind of moved because they saw this red stick that he was moving. They knew he was blind, and he could not see. But too many people are blind and don't know it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We can be freed from blindness by truth. So as we think of this, you know, there's a fortress. There's a fortress that forms in the mind that can go circles. You know, feelings and fears come, and then actions and reactions, and then back again up to the lie, and the sin just continues to operate until I have sinned and I repent and I'm accountable and I embrace truth in my life. But often you can't embrace this truth until you repent. Strongholds can't be just destroyed with human reasoning. It takes obedience to the truth that pulls it down. You know, I don't know what Paul was thinking when he said to pull down those strongholds. He was talking about pulling down a stronghold. I don't know. You know, sometimes when you think of pulling things down, you think of getting a rope and you think of just attaching it and just pulling on it. But, you know, this is much more, that's carnal, that's natural. We're talking about mind, a mind that I have, that you have. I believe this morning that if I think right and I believe right, then my actions will follow. Romans 12 talks about a renewing of the mind. So there's common strongholds, you know, that are common to us. A stronghold is a mental fortress built on lies, trauma, sin, or pride. It becomes the enemy's base of operations in the mind. That's a quote. You know, there's times when, and I can identify with this, I feared authority. Church authority. I feared church vision. You know, fear is also worship. Unhealthy fear When you fear something, it's a form of worship. And the enemy, when he can get me to believe a lie, then I'm worshiping him by fearing that. I remember of talking to a parent some years ago now, and they were talking about one of their children that had struggled greatly and it was really in a bad place. And we were talking about vision, church authority. And they said, well, you know, there was a testimony there that this young person said, I cannot do what's right. I can't dress modest. I just can't. And I believe it's because there was a stronghold operating in her mind. You know, there was a stronghold operating. Lying to her, in her mind, it was as real as anything she saw. Another one is entitlement. You know, when I feel entitled, I tend to drift into sin. Entitlement. I was misused, so that's why I struggle with a certain sin. It's not my fault. I can't help it. It distorts reality. Truth feels like an attack. Love feels like control. It rejects accountability. Correction is seen as persecution, and sin multiplies. It isolates you spiritually. You stop listening to wise counsel and claim that God only is speaking to you. That's what happens when we get into a stronghold. The absence of peace is evident when we're in a stronghold. Hebrews 12, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. First Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. So I have here a list of strongholds here that I'm going to share here. But I would just also like to say that, you know, this is a list that I just come up with, you know, as I sat down in my office. And so some of these, you know, they may not be strongholds today, but they can definitely, you know, develop into that. And I just like for us to remember that strongholds start in the mind. Moral failure, consumed by lust, can't find victory, number one. Envy, the spirit of envy, can't rejoice when others prosper. Bitterness, I just talked about that verse on bitterness. But it says here in 1 Corinthians 10, they are common to man. But the difference is when I apply these principles to any of these sins that I'm going to list, it deals with them. It makes them go away. They're washed away by the blood of Jesus. And I can see clearly. There's no fog over my glasses. Bitterness, can't move past a painful event in life. Insecurity, poor me, or no one likes me. Unforgiveness, openly resisting salvation. Don't tell me what to wear. I don't like wardrobe police. Unhealthy fear, pride. I'm the worst or the best. It's on both sides of the coin. Pride. Isolation. Just often alone, by yourself. It can be an indication that there's a stronghold operating. Depression, life isn't fair. Not able to hold a conversation or can't communicate. Communication doesn't flow. Addiction to pain meds or a lying spirit. Uncontrolled anger. Struggles with entitlement. I sinned because they did that to me or this happened. And that may be true. But I would beg of us to understand that when I do that, I'm creating a stronghold. And the stronghold, you know, keeps getting bigger. It keeps getting bigger. You're wrapping you tighter. So if you wait till you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old to try to break that stronghold that is operating, it can be very difficult. It can, may take fasting. It may take prayer. Or it'll take fasting and prayer, I should say. So in all these common strongholds that I just listed, the last one is living in denial that any of the sins I just listed could ever be part of my life. That's a stronghold. Denial. There's a little story here that I wanted to share in closing. One of the most notoriously bad characters that ever lived in New York was Orville Gardner. He was the trainer of prize fighters and a companion of all sorts of hard characters. His reputation was so thoroughly bad that he was called Awful Gardner. He had a little boy whom he dearly loved, and this boy died. A short time after this boy's death, he was standing in the bar of a New York City saloon surrounded by a number of his companions. The night was sweltering, and he stepped outside the saloon to get a little fresh air. As he stood out there and looked up into the heavens, between the high buildings, at a sky above, a star was shining down upon him. A bright star was just shining. And as he was looking at it, he said to himself, "I wonder where my little boy is tonight, the one that died." Then the thought came to him, "Wherever he is," he thought to himself, "I will never see him again unless I change my life." Truth broke through the stronghold at that point. He hurried from the saloon to the room where his godly mother was. He went in and asked his mother to pray for him. He attended a revival meeting in 1857, and he was saved. He no longer went by the nickname Awful Gardner. He became a preacher to whom many came to hear preach. Gardner became a powerful preacher, and he saw many come to Christ. What has he done for you today? Are you lost in the grip of sin? Jesus can set you free. Are you out of God's will and trapped in pride, bitterness? Jesus can set you free today. Do you need his touch? Do you need his compassion? Do you need his life-changing power? Here's the recipe. Acknowledge I have sinned. Repent. Turn from my sin. Be accountable to others, godly brothers and sisters who I appreciate. And open the word of truth and embrace it wholeheartedly. May God bless you all.